He said he was going to have to go out and get some coffee or something. So, I want to open with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity, for your words, that we all may grow closer to you and be more of the people you created us to be. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. And no matter the situation, whether it's good or bad, we will give you all glory. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Okay. So, my topic is tested faith produces patience. And before I really get into the workshop, I want to talk about my flight out here. I left on a Monday afternoon, and I knew I was going from Columbia to Dallas to Portland to here. And it dawned on me that my older brother, who I haven't seen in a number of years, used to live in Seattle, but he now lives near Portland. So I texted him and I said, "How close do you live to Portland?" He said, 5 minutes. I said, "How close do you live to the Portland airport?" He said, 15 or 20, depending on traffic. So I took a picture of my itinerary and said, "I'm flying into Portland Monday at 8:50 and I fly out at 10:05. He said, "Great. I don't know if that's enough time for you to get out of the airport for us to visit and you to get back through security and get back in and leave, but I'm game." So we said, "Okay, good." And so I leave Columbia, fly into Dallas, get to the gate, and what's so funny is when I got my little boarding pass is it did not have a gate number. So I get to Dallas, and I'm like, where do I go? And then I go ask somebody, and they looked it up and said, "I'm at B-17. They say, "You have to go to C-28. I went, "Okay." So I'm in an airport I've never been in. I don't know where I'm going. I see this sign that says to concourses A, C, D, E, however many there are. So I go down there and get on this little trolley. I'm like, okay, I don't know. It says A, C. So I'm riding around, and all of a sudden it says two stops at A, a stop at C, and then, okay, here's my gate. So I get off at C. I find my gate, and I'm thinking, all right, good. I've had a 45-minute break. Now in about 10 minutes I can get on the plane and keep going. About 30 minutes later, everybody's still standing around. We're looking. And they change the sign to say, instead of boarding at 6:15, boarding now will start at 7. And I'm like, oh, lovely. We're going to take off at, or we're going to board after we've already taken off. So I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. Let's have some patience. So I'm calm. I'm just chilling out. And we finally leave. But right before I left, I texted my brother and said, delayed an hour. Not sure about time in Portland. He texted back, don't worry about it. Why don't we just make a special trip out of it? And I said, that's a plan. So the test was, will I be patient in being delayed from plans that I had made? And I thought to myself, well, I guess it wasn't in God's plan for my brother and I to spend some time in the coffee shop at the airport, because he had something greater in mind. And that's a trip for my whole family to come to Portland and spend some time with my brother and his family. So I had that episode. So we finally get through the gate, and we're walking. And, you know, when you let a herd of cows into a turnstile, then it kind of backs up and slows down. So couple of his cows were sitting there. See, you're talking about pigs. I'm going to talk about cows. So a couple of his cows were standing there, and this guy said, "Are you from Dallas or Portland?" I said, "Neither." I said, "I'm from South Carolina, and I'm going to Anchorage." "What are you going to Anchorage for? You going fishing?" "Nope. I'm going to a Point to Hope Ministry Conference where I'm speaking on Saturday." And he said, "What are you speaking on?" And I said, "My topic is tested faith produces patience." And he went, "Wow. I'm down here from Portland visiting my son. He's playing baseball at a Division III school, and life's been hard because a year and 4 months ago, my wife asked me to move out." And he said, "I'm going into the valley." And the polite person that I am said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute." Yeah, I didn't let him finish his thought. I said, no. "You're not going into the valley. His word says you're going through the valley. And this is a test, but you have to have patience. And tests aren't always fun. But stay the course." And we prayed a little bit. I'm like, "Okay, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity, the delay, to show your goodness." So, we get to Portland, and it's, and I'm going to make up the times because I'm not really sure what they were. My flight was supposed to leave at 10:05, and it's 9:50, and again, because I'm riding in economy, all the first class people are getting off first, and everybody in front of me, and I'm on row 14 or 18 or something, and there's, you know, six, so there's like 70 people in front of me trying to get off. So we're all standing there. And the whole group in front of me is turning around looking, and some lady said, I looked at my watch, said, "Great." She said, "What's great?" I said, "I have 15 minutes to make my connecting flight." "Where to?" "Anchorage." "What are you going to Anchorage for? Fishing?" "No. Does everybody come here to go fish?" "Okay." "Hey, no.
And you are fishing, by the way."
Well, that's true. But, and I should have worn that shirt, Fishers of Men, because I have that t-shirt, or a t-shirt that says that. My wife's been fishing in Alaska, but I have not. But, where was I at? Oh, so I said, she said, "You know, I'm going to Point to Hope Ministry and speaking on Saturday." And right then it dawned on me that if I don't make my connecting flight, well, that's fine because my brother lives in Portland and I can stay at his house and I can get another flight in the morning. I don't, you know, today's Monday. I've got plenty of time. But the lady said, "Well, what are you talking on?" I said, "Tested faith produces patience." And without hesitating, she said, "Well, here's how you can really show whether you're up to your word or not." Well, I said, "I'm pretty fine just standing right here." And she said, "You look calm." And I said, "That's not me. That's God. He's taking care of it." So we get off, and I'm walking down. I found where I'm supposed to go, and I'm at C-17. I got to go to C-2, and I'm probably about C-11. And I hear, "This is the last call for boarding flight to Anchorage." And I'm like, "I don't see C2. I'm like, "Okay." So I turn into O.J. Simpson. The early O.J. So I made my flight and I got here and everything was good. But in that couple of 6, 8, 9 hours, whatever it is, it's like that little bit of time, there were multiple opportunities for my faith to be tested and for me to stay patient. And so I said, you know, I get on the plane and I sit down and I can finally breathe. And I'm like, "Okay, thank you, Lord." And so, you know, now we're actually going to get into what I had planned on talking. Tested faith produces patience. The verse that it comes out of is James 1:2-6. and it reads, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So I looked up the word steadfastness, and I think it was Wednesday night, may have been Thursday night. Evelyn, one of the songs you were singing had the word steadfastness in it, and it just hit me because I'm like, okay, that's one of the words that I'm using in my workshop. And so it hit me. So I looked it up, and it says firmly fixed. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, during praise and worship, I'm getting hit by God. Stay firmly fixed. So, all right. So my first thought when I read that verse was, why? And so then I wrote down, God made us in his image, perfect in every way. Testing is to bring us back to how he created us. It sharpens us, corrects us, purifies us. And then I heard Nancy in one of the 13 times this week that I've heard her talk, however many it is. I wrote down, sometimes gently, sometimes forcefully. And so a little while ago I heard her say, and God spanked her. You know, God spanks all of us. And I wanted to throw my hands up. Last Sunday we had our pastor was on vacation. We had another pastor there. And she was talking about God revealing himself. And she, and you know, this is one of those churches where I actually go to three or four different churches. And this is one where they started clapping, but they don't dance. They don't shout. They don't amen. They don't raise their hand. You know, so she's sitting up there saying, so when is God going to reveal himself? And I'm sitting there in my seat going, he's already done it. You just have to recognize it. And I wanted to say that, but then I was like, well, they got ushers that are bigger than me, and I don't want to, you know. But I should have been true and done it. So talking about testing, you think about some people who've been tested. It's all throughout the Bible. You know, the first one that came to my mind was Moses. And I don't know why, but I found a picture of Moses standing by the Red Sea. So, okay, he was tested. Yes. But then I realized, wait a minute. Here's somebody else that was tested. Jesus. When the devil said, throw yourself down. If you're the Son of the Most High God, you can save yourself. All this will be yours. And what did Jesus do? It is written. He went to his Father's word. What an example for us. Go to his Father's word. And he's our Father too. So, so then I started thinking, and I wrote down some more names just for the fun of it. Adam was tested. Job was tested. Abraham and Sarah. There's countless more in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So then I went back and I found some pictures that I had on my phone, and I thought, has she been tested? Has she been tested? Has she been tested? How about him? Okay. Here's one you don't know. Some of you don't know. That's my daughter. And I thought, has she been tested? And in this example, it's kind of hard to see, but we're at the doctor's office because she got hit in the face with a softball right here. The second year in a row by the same girl doing the same thing. And so she had some softball games coming up, and the doctor gave her a couple stitches and said, you're good. Being the caring dad that I am, I said, are there any restrictions? Well, no, just keep it clean. I said, well, good, because today's Tuesday. She's got a softball game on Wednesday and Thursday, and she's got a travel ball tournament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he went, hold on a minute. And he walked over to the little cabinet and came out and gave a whole bunch of those little gauze pads and little medical tape and said, you have to keep it clean. So I had to do this to her for her to play, okay? So on the last day, she said, Dad, I don't want to wear that bandage again. I said, it's your choice. If you don't wear the bandage, you don't play. Put it on, Dad. I think that was a test for her and for me. Am I going to follow the doctor's orders? What's more important, my daughter's softball game or the health of my child? That was no test for me. So, this one's a kind of a funny picture. Another test. It's funny because he's laying on the bed, sticking his tongue out. Okay? That's my son. Earlier that evening, in a football game, he was going after the punt returner and got a crackback block on his right side. So we're sitting up in the stands watching this football game. Didn't see the play because, you know, it's on the far side of the field. And I see the kid laying on the ground, didn't realize it was my son, and saw the guy get tackled. And about 5 minutes later, I look down my stands, and my son's sitting there with the trainer, and the person behind me had tapped me and said, they're trying to get your attention. And I went down, and they said, I think you need to take him in. Okay. He's coughing up blood. So we take him in, and he hates needles. So we're sitting in the hospital. Lisa, this is like 11 o'clock at night. Lisa's got to get up at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. So I say, honey, why don't you and Shelby and Mama go on home? I'll stay here and do all this. And so anyway, he wanted to go back to football practice that afternoon. I said, no. Some of you know this woman. Some of you don't. But this is my wife. Has she been tested? Yes. By a lot of things, including me. And she does extremely well. And I have to tell you this story just because I can. This is a test. Okay? When you're at the gas station And an 18-wheeler hits the canopy, and the canopy falls on the vehicle that you're filling up with gas. This is a test. The rest of this story is, on Sunday, one of the other churches I go to has a prayer, a joy and a concerns period. And after the concerns, I say, okay, I've got a joy. Actually, two joys. I said, what are they? I said, well, I'm just glad that God has mercy. And that when you're getting gas at a gas station and an 18-wheeler hits the canopy and it falls on you, that you are not hurt. Because that happened to me on Wednesday. And everybody went, ooh. And I said, and my second joy is that God gave my wife grace because I was driving her car. Okay? That's a test. And so I had just gotten off the phone with her, and I said, okay, I made it to the gas station. I'm going to get gas, then I'm going to go to my 8:30 meeting and all this. Well, I text her, and I say, I've got gas, but I can't leave. She said, why? I said, I'm sending you a picture. So another instance, I don't know if y'all can really see this one, but that's a hand with a nail in it. Okay? What do you think this individual, there's no blood, so it should be okay. What do you think this individual said were the first words out of his mouth when this happened? No, wasn't ouch. And it wasn't even a bad word. You know, you would think if something like that happened, a lot of people would be, oh, blah, blah, blah. This person just said, oh, darn. Got off the ladder, got off the porch. Everybody around you is freaking out. And I holler to my brother and say, get me a towel so I can pull the nail out of my hand. And it didn't dawn on me until afterwards, and one of the guys working with us said, Tim, all you said was, oh, darn. I went, what else was I supposed to say? It's just a setback. So I drove to the emergency room, had it taken out, went back to work, and they were all putting tools up. I'm like, what? Come on, let's go. Let's work. It's only 3:30. Well, I was like, come on, I'm okay. So they chose not to go back to work. That was in October, 3 weeks beforehand. I cut my belly with a razor knife, and I went to the emergency room, got 3 stitches, went back to work, and kept working. They should know better. Come on, let's work. So I like to look up what words mean. So tested faith produces patience. There's a whole bunch of verses in the Bible that talk about testing, tested, trial, tribulation. And to me, those are all the same. Little, but very close. So I looked up these words, and then I realized, wait a minute, if my topic is tested faith produces patience, then I need to give the definitions in that order. So test, a critical observation, examination, or evaluation. To put to test or proof. A procedure to lead to proof or disproof, acceptance or rejection. A procedure to identify a constituent. Constituent means one of a group or an essential part. And to that I wrote down, are we one of God's constituents? Are we an essential part? We should be. So, you look up the word faith, and Mr. Noah has faith defined as an allegiance to duty or person or a loyalty, a belief and trust in and loyalty to God. See, they may have taken God out of schools, but they haven't taken him out of the dictionary. And if there's dictionary still in school, God's still in school. Another one for faith, a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, without doubt or question. Tested faith produces. To give birth to or rise to give being, form, or shape to. A lot of times people hear the word produce and they think vegetables or fruit or a movie company that's making a production. To give form or shape to. So, gives shape to what? Patience. My mama was an English major. She always told us, do not use the word you're trying to define in its definition. So you look up the word patience, and the first definition says, the capacity, habit, or feat of being patient. That really doesn't help me much. So you look up the word patient. Bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. So then I look up the word forbearance. To do without or control oneself when provoked. Most of the times when we're tested, we take that as a prodding or a provoking. So when that happens, what are we supposed to do? Remain patient. Another one for patient, not hasty or impetuous. So, I looked up the word steadfast because it was in one of those definitions I read. And it's, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Another word for patient is steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. So if you look up steadfast, it says a life of faithful endurance amid troubles and afflictions. So you stay steadfast amid troubles and afflictions. Is it easy to be happy when things are great? Most of the time. How about when it's a little bit gray outside? How about when it's dark? And I don't mean light. I don't mean y'all's winter here, okay? I don't mean that. I mean when it's dark, like there's gloom. Like you go to work on a Thursday morning and you're leaving Thursday afternoon to go to your son's baseball game and your wife says, how was your day? I said, well, it started off good, but it ended kind of crappy. Oh, see there, Ben, I let the C word out like you did. Wasn't it? Or was that you? It was one of them. I said, I can't talk about it. So I get to the ball field. Tell me about it. Nope, not now. After the ball game, we get home, the kids go upstairs, she and I go to the kitchen table. She says, so it started off good and ended crappy. Yep. I lost my job today. She didn't react. She didn't go. How many people have seen the movie Courageous? Yes. Where, and I don't remember his name, the Mexican guy. And his wife, and at 10 o'clock, I'll call you in the morning. Call me if it's bad news. She called, Javier, it'll be okay. Honey, I got a promotion. She jumped, okay? My wife did not jump. She sat there, and she paused. And I think really what she was doing is what Jesus did when the devil said, fling yourself down. And Jesus said, it is written. Her response was, when man closes one door, God has a bigger door for you to go through. Amen. And all of a sudden I went, whew. I felt like a failure. I didn't know what I was going to do. But she was gracious and merciful. Had that happened 10 years beforehand, she'd have been like Javier's wife. And she admit she found the Lord before I did. So I've given you some examples of who has been tested. So let me read you a verse. And then an explanation of what this guy said about the verse. This is from Job 23, 8 through 10. If I go east, he is not there. And if I go west, I cannot perceive him. When he is at work to the north, I cannot see him. When he turns south, I cannot find him. Yet he knows the way I've taken. When he has tested me, I will emerge as pure gold. So, Jesus talked in parables. A lot of the times in the Bible, there are metaphors. And one of the metaphors that the Bible says about life is, it is a test. God continually tests people's character, faith, obedience, love, integrity, and loyalty. Character is both developed and revealed by testing. God's constantly watching us to see how we respond to people, problems, successes, conflict, illness, disappointment, even the weather. So I have 7 categories of tests. A test of patience, faith, love, endurance, humility, sacrifice, and obedience. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I probably have 30 different verses all relating to testing that are written down. So why do you think patience is important? Here's what I think. The other night, standing at the airport, having 15 minutes to make a connecting flight, yet I was still patient. The old me would have been like, excuse me, can I get through? I got to get through. I got to get to the front. I got 15 minutes. I got to. Let God be in control. And then, when that trial comes, are you going to be patient? It's a whole lot easier. May not be comfortable. And you may not get what you want. But let God be in control of God's time. Let us quit trying to do it. Count it all joy. That's kind of tough sometimes. Count it all joy. So do we believe in God? This is a test of faith. Do we believe in God in the midst of pain and suffering? Do we believe in the promises of God even when everything looks impossible? Do we trust in God even if He does not deliver us? Do we trust in God even when we do not understand His ways and His working in our lives? And that's what brought me to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were tested. Their king said, "Worship me." They said, "No, not going to do it. If you don't worship me, I'm throwing you in the fire." Okay. Our God will save us. And even if our God doesn't save us, we are not to have any other gods besides Him. We will not worship you. I'd say they passed their test of faith at that instance. Sometimes we pass our tests. Sometimes we don't. It's important that when you don't, that you recognize it and you go back and repent for it and ask God for guidance and mercy. A trial or a test can determine our true love. Do I love me or do I love Him? Which one do I love more? Here's the one that we probably don't like the most. The test of endurance. How long can we remain faithful? How long are we going to have to journey around that mountain? 40 years? 4 years? In 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 24, this is Jesus talking. No, it wasn't Jesus talking. It was Paul. I think he endured a lot. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 25. Verse 25 says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the depths of the sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, robbers, my own people, the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the country, dangers at sea, labor, hardship, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food, clothing. But he endured. A test of humility. He allows us to go through tests. Because he wants to see what's going to come out on the other side. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And to make it, I always put less often, because then that way I understand, instead of the selfless, selfless. Sometimes we have to sacrifice. Abraham was at first, I don't think Abraham passed a test, but then I do think he passed the second test. When God said that they would be the father of all nations, and they doubted because they were old and didn't have any children. But so the doubt was there. So he, to me, that wasn't a passing grade. But yet, when they had Isaac and God said, take him to the mountain, I want him. Sacrifice him. He didn't hesitate. He didn't know God's plan, but he trusted in whatever that plan was. He knew he'd waited for the child. He was a proud father, but he loved God more. So he was willing to take his son up there. And I believe sometimes our tests are done to show that us, instead of sitting here saying, God, I love you. I want to serve you. Help me, Lord. Those are just words. But when you step up like Abraham did, and he took that step, he put it into action, and God said, thank you. You know, people would say, would you do it? I firmly believe that Abraham, had God not, you know, he told Isaac, said, well, where's the sacrifice? God will provide the sacrifice. And he tells the servants, we're going and we'll come back. So they asked, do you think Abraham really would have sacrificed Isaac? I have no doubt he would have. Because of his faith in God. A test of obedience . Are we willing to obey God even when he commands us to do what we do not like or what we wish to avoid? And of course, Jesus is the prime example of obedience. When Jesus fell down on his face and prayed, Father, not me, please take it away, but if it's your will, I will do it. He was asking God for a way out. But that was the man part of him. The Holy Spirit part of him said, God, I know I just said find another way, but I want to go your way. I want to do it your way. He was obedient. I'm not always obedient. I'm not always humble. My family will tell you that I'm not always patient. I'm learning to get better in a lot of these areas. one of the things about patience is I don't like to be late. So when I have 15 minutes to make a connecting flight, it was all I know that was a God moment because I was patient. I was only patient because God was with me. Had I been in my flesh, I would not have been patient. And, I mean, and that's a small test. But you know what? Tests happen when you're sitting in a church pew watching your wife speak at a Point to Hope conference in Augusta, Georgia. And Nancy Haney looks at you after you add a comment or two and say, Tim, will you speak? That's a test. Tests happen when you're playing golf and you hit a golf ball and it's laid up right next to this root and this tree and I'm going that way and my ball's right there. Okay? Tests happen when people are not around. Do I kick the ball out? No stroke and hit it? Nope. Neither one. You take the club, you turn it backwards, you just go poop like you're playing putt-putt and pop it out there, and then that's a stroke. If I'm not true to me and I'm not true to God, what's the point? If I lie to myself, if that one shot is the difference of me having the best score I ever had in a round of golf or being back to my normal score, it's not worth it to me to give up, to cheat, to lie, to be dishonest, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's not worth it. A lot of times it's easier for us to pass a test when two or three are gathered. But it's harder to pass the test when you're alone. I think that gets back a little bit to the humility. Should I do it because nobody's around and I can get away with it? But God sees. It's kind of like the pastor that called in sick on a Sunday to go play golf. You've been playing golf for 30 years. On that Sunday, had his first hole in one. He was ecstatic. I mean, that's an accomplishment, having a hole in one on a golf course. And so Peter looks at God and said, God, why'd you let him do that? He cut out on work. He cut out on delivering your message. And you let him have a hole in one? God looked at Peter and said, well, who's he going to tell? You know? So, let me give you some verses and let you write some things down. I'll read some of the verses. I'm not going to read them all because there's too many. But you may want to refer back to them. In Acts 5:41, it says, "Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." They were being tested. They were in a trial. But they counted it worthy. They counted it all joy that they were suffering for His sake. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, "In this you rejoice, though now only for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, may be found to result in praise and glorifying honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Further on in Peter, in 2 Peter, it talks about having faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. James 3:17 is, and I've just wrote some notes about what it is wisdom from above. It's peaceable. Peaceable is actually the polar opposite of selfish ambition. Proverbs 29 talks about the rod and being reproved. Here's a test we all go through. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other. One he will be devoted to, and to the other despise." You cannot serve God and money. And it says money, but to me it's flesh. You got spirit, you got flesh. Which one are you going to serve? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." The renewal of your mind. That's communicating with God. That's being in His Word. So that when the tests come, you'll know how God wants you to respond. You know, I mentioned the movie a little bit ago, Courageous. If you remember when the five gentlemen the one cop, when he went to his wife and showed him the contract, she said, "Oh, you can't do this in just blue jeans and a t-shirt. You got to have some ceremony behind this." And so then the pastors are going through the ceremony with the five gentlemen. And the pastor says, "I warn you. You will be held doubly accountable." First Timothy 3:10, "Deacons, be tested first and prove themselves blameless." Call them deacons, preachers, pastors, teachers. All of us, we're going to be doubly accountable. Job was just awesome that he never cursed God. He never gave in to the devil. He lost it all. But he stayed true. David, no matter what his faults were, in his greatest defeat, he was in a trial. His men were rebelling on him. They wanted to kill him. So what did he do? He went back to the Word. He started praising and worshiping God. I think that tells you a little bit about what we're supposed to do when we get hit with a test. All right. Let me do this one here. A couple more verses. And I may have already given some of them. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, I think I'm going to go through one day and just go to every book and every chapter and go to all 3:16s just to see what they say. You know, that's 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. First Peter 4:12-19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard us, our hearts and our minds. So Jesus was telling the rich man the way to the kingdom, that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So in Acts 14:22 it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encourage them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. So, earlier we talked about being tested, that life is a metaphor for test. Last Thursday, I don't remember what time of the day, but I know it was during the day, I had the Lord tell me something, so I wrote it down. And after I wrote it down, I started thinking, wait a minute, I'm leaving Monday to go to Anchorage. I've gone through Travelocity to get my plane ticket. I don't remember seeing an email about it. So I went back on Travelocity, and this is like 11:30 at night. And I pulled back up my email that I got about my itinerary, and I was like, okay. So I went to Travelocity's website, and I clicked on it, and it came up and said, ticketing in process. I went, whoa, I paid for that. You know, the money's out of my account. The ticket's already been purchased. Where's my ticket? Why is it not here? And something plopped up on the computer screen and said, your ticket wasn't issued when you last inquired on whatever date. And now the price for your ticket to Anchorage is $1,200. And I went, no. You already got the $600. You're not doubling it just because I'm only like 3 days away from flying. No. Come on. That was a test. That was a trial. So I got off the computer screen. I called Travelocity. Thank you for calling. We are extremely busy. If you'd like to leave your name and number, we will call you back within 11 minutes. I went, okay, great. 11 minutes go. I look at my phone. I said, it's been 11 minutes. They haven't called yet. I look back down and the phone's ringing. So I answer the phone. I said, look, what's going on? Mr. Langford, your ticket's already issued. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay the $1,200. I went, good. Thank you. So then I went back to what God told me on that Thursday, earlier in that day. Okay? That's what he told me. I put it on here, but I couldn't enlarge it big enough for you to read without seeing my chicken scratch. See, I thought somebody was going to say, well, you spelled it wrong. No, that's what God told me. Christ I ams. Why are we tested? He made us in His image. If we're in His image, then we're Christ I ams. You got to go through the tests and the trials. And you know why? You have to count it joy. This is why you have to count it joy. Because right when the testing and the trials and the tribulations seem the hardest, that's about the time that we quit relying on the we's and relying on Him, and He'll take us through it and take us to the next level. Because that's when the tests are the hardest. You know, I told you that instance about that Thursday night when I told my wife the day ended kind of badly. And she was gracious that night when I told her that I'd lost my job. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, that's on a Thursday, March 4th. Sunday, March the 1st, 4 days beforehand, I told Lisa I'm going to church with you. That night, and I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give God what is God's. That night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. That was the following Sunday. I accepted Christ as my Savior that Sunday. And I'm going to tithe. And the enemy comes up and says, all right. So you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've been one of my buddies. I'm not going to lose you. I'm going to mess up your plans. I'm going to take away your job. I'm going to take away your livelihood. I'm going to take your ability to give God His 10% away. So we tried. 3 days later, we go to church. That's the night I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd made a little bit of money that week from something. I don't know what. I gave my 10% to God. And as I did, I walked up and I said, God, it's not much, but the enemy came after me this week and this is all I got, but it's yours. These topics we get, the workshops, they're challenging. Kim, I remember what you said yesterday about you're getting your topic, you didn't have it, you went through, you're like, oh, well, yeah, you know, what you said yesterday. Oh, not this one. Click, that's one you get. You ask anybody that's been a speaker. They may be beneficial to you all, but it's been really beneficial to me. Every time Nancy asked me to speak, it helps me so much. And I hope it helps you. Thank you, Jesus.